You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope that your day is off to a great start. We made it to Friday Eve, and boy, oh boy, if you are in a good portion of the state, it's a little soggy waking up this morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Hey, good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Yeah, heavy snow forecasted through Madison and north. It is April 2nd. This weather was supposed to come yesterday as an April Fool's joke. Unfortunately, it came today. So if you are in Madison, yeah, it's going to be, there's going to be precipitation all the way. Well, let's just say until you go home from work, yeah. Then you'll get a break for an hour and then it's going to start up again. So it is miserable today, and it's miserable throughout the Midwest.
Yeah,
because, well, why not? It's April, and that's the way it goes. So just be careful if you're running around out there this morning. Give yourself a little extra time. All the usual platitudes especially, that come from people who are telling you what to do.
Especially if you have to travel northward at all today into the Abbotsford, Wausau area, even to the into the Pulaski area. There is an ice storm warning in effect in that area of northern Wisconsin until about 1 o'clock this afternoon. I haven't seen any reports as of this morning, but if you are in the area, and please, if you're safe, make sure you let us know how it is up there, please. 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. Here's the thing. I know that we don't really like snow that much, especially certain times of the year. I would much rather deal with snow than ice or ice with snow on top of it. I would much, much rather deal with a wet snow this time of year than any sort of ice accumulation. That just makes things difficult and more dangerous, I think. So,
well, it's not going to last. It's supposed to get up to 62 today, even with all the rain. It's going to be 50s in the 50s the rest of the weekend. Easter is not going to be fun. It's going to be 48, but at least it's going to be sunny. So,
yeah,
you know, it's... this is very temporary inconveniences. Now, we're expecting a lot of tornadic activity. Mm-hmm. So you may want to send Corey down to my house this afternoon because it's
funny.
Dicey.
We have the new acquisitions in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan for the Civic Media. And so he was up there doing a bunch of work. And yesterday afternoon, I get a text and he's like, I'm on my way home. And I said, oh, that's interesting, because I was told to expect him to be gone for, you know, probably through the weekend into maybe early next week as they rebuild these stations.
He missed you so much.
No, that's not it at all. Nope, not it at all. Just like most things in this life, I am outbid by the weather. Because I thought about it. And I said, there's ice up there. Are you trying to outrun the ice? And he goes, yeah, I don't really want to get stuck in an ice storm. He's like, my goal was to be home this weekend. And I said, where's the severe weather? I said, is it close to us anywhere? And he didn't say anything, which is always a tell for my husband. And pretty soon I hear, yeah, it's down in Illinois.
They were sounding all the alarms yesterday.
Yeah.
So that means I have to drug one of the dogs as soon as the show is over. So she sleeps through it. Listen, we've got to update something that happened yesterday.
Yes.
Because after we accused Parker of... lacking some common sense, he ran home to his daddy, and I don't use that's not slang term. He went to his actual father to try to get a little backup, so that Parker didn't want to come in today feeling as mentally and intellectually diminished as he did when he left the show yesterday. Would I be wrong in that assumption, Parker?
I would say...
You did, in fact, go talk to your dad.
I did go talk to my dad. I would like to say I left the show, I think, just confused. I don't want...
Okay. All right, that's fair.
But I got it, and I get it now. Dad,
do you? Because you don't look like you get it.
Now, did your dad sit you down with a PowerPoint, or did he just smack you in the back of the head with a book and go, your stuff together?
He just said, he's like, that's fair. You never had that.
I'll give you, I have a 22-year-old, so I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that it's a foreign concept to that age group of how you AAA, BBB, CCC, that, I get how that is a foreign concept.
We acquiesced to that point by the end of the show.
We did.
It just still seemed funny that you couldn't grasp it.
It wasn't that you hadn't
experienced it, that's obvious.
Yeah.
But that you couldn't seem to grasp it, and you're an intelligent young man. It just boggled my mind that he was, why is he not getting this?
I don't know why I wasn't getting it. I wish I knew. I wish I could tell you, Brian.
I don't know.
Did somebody pull out a phone and show you, or was it just an explanation?
I did grab, much like after the show, I grabbed out my phone and looked at the keypad with the letters on it, and I went, yeah, no, that's okay. This tracks. I understand.
Parker, here's a little tip that's going to make your life a lot easier.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff from the past. Don't worry yourself about it. Just go as in the past. I don't need to know that. The history of the country, you should know.
Yes.
You know, the Constitution, you should know. Yeah. Those kind of things. Why an old flip phone had to be dialed a certain way to send a text. Really, you don't have room in your brain for that kind of information. It really short-circuited you yesterday. It just goes to show. Some of this old folk stuff that I will reference, or Jamie will reference, or Frank will probably be closer to you in your references.
Yes.
But just let them go and just go, oh, listen to Gramps just babble on again. And move on with worrying about the future and the present.
I know what I need to know, Brian, and that's all I'm worried about.
This is important.
Well, you obviously thought you needed to know this, and it really bothered you yesterday.
It bothered me that I didn't understand it.
I just love that you went home and did the actual homework and pulled it out after the show.
It was
like,
funny.
That is studious. That is somebody who takes the initiative, and I can appreciate that.
I do anything for the bit.
Even bringing your dad into it. That was very good. You sought counsel from your father.
Yes.
Which is a good thing.
It's
nice that you still have that open that you weren't so embarrassed to tell your dad, I don't understand how any of this works. They told me, but they told me in a mocking tone, and it didn't stick. That was not how I want to be taught.
I just think that the sheer confusion on his face yesterday is what got me through the whole thing. But I understand.
My mind was kind of in a pretzel yesterday. I'm going to be honest with you. It was tough. Okay. There was some mental gymnastics going on yesterday.
See that look, the same look I saw on your face yesterday, Parker. I see that look on Molly's face a lot when I tell stories about what happened to me as a child and a young man.
Yeah.
She can't believe, one, that I'm still alive, and two, that these things actually happen, that I'm not just creating them out of whole cloth, that these are real things that really happened.
Okay. My dad has this one story that I refuse to believe is true. I think all of us refuse to believe it's true.
That there were metal ice trays that you put in the freezer?
No.
And then you grabbed with your bare wet hands?
He says that during high school... In their swimming pool, they swam naked. I don't believe this.
That is, I don't know if your dad went to public school or private school.
He went to public.
That was a thing. Of course, the classes were not co-ed back then.
Yeah,
I don't care. It was for, I wouldn't have wanted to do it either, but that was especially in the Chicago Catholic League schools that had swimming. Yes, and I don't know why. You can theorize that, Chancellor Epstein really wanted everybody to swim. I don't know. But
what a weird old-timey thing. I don't understand that.
That's older-timey than me. We got to wear suits.
Yeah.
We wore trunks.
When you said suits, the first thing I thought was like three-piece suit.
Yes, we wore three-piece suits.
The dress code
carried over even into the water. Parker. Collared shirt, khaki pants, yep. And you know, you had to swim in it too.
I was going to say, and then they hoped that, you know, the weight of it didn't pull you right to the bottom of the pool as it soaked up all the water.
Made you a stronger swimmer, didn't it?
Roger from Stevens Point chiming in this morning, talking about the weather in his area. He says there is a layer of ice on the concrete and making it very slippery. It's also lightly raining, so be careful out there. If you do want to tell us what the weather is like in your area this morning, or you just want to chime into any of the conversations, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC.
Sometimes it bothers me that we take on that role of mom and dad telling people what to do and how to drive. Listen, if you want to drive it like you stole it,
yeah,
good luck
go
to
for
you.
It.
I'm not the boss of you.
No.
But we always do that. It's like it's kind of like the radio playbook. We have to say, now listen, be
yes.
And I'm guilty of it too. This is not directed
it's at, a radio
at
thing,
anybody,
right?
Because I do it too. It's
yeah.
Like, make sure you're careful. I don't care. To be honest, I hope you're smart enough to be careful, but
yeah.
It's not my job to worry about you. I'll be careful. I'm sure Jamie and Parker will be careful when they go out to drive. I'm just going to assume that you are smart. If you're listening to this show, you've got some brains. I'm going to assume
hopefully.
That then you're smart enough to know if it's icy, I'm going to drive a little slower. I don't know. Brian said he didn't care, so I'm going pedal to the metal, baby. Let's do it.
Just if you
Parker,
end up-
if you want, we can start a little segment.
Oh, no.
Where
oh,
you ask old-timey things that confuse you, and we try to
yes.
explain it. And it'll be like
Do
you're
you
sitting on the porch with us.
There's yeah, not a list for that.
Oh,
but
wow.
if it comes,
start
if,
one.
If yeah, if it does happen, feel free. Now, remember, I'm probably, and Jamie, probably not as old as you think we are. So if you ask me about the invention of the motor car, that's way before my time.
Really?
This isn't like one of those moments where when we talk, you're like, oh my God, for 72, they sure look good, right? Like, this isn't one of those moments.
No.
You do have an idea of how, like, kind of where we're at in
yeah.
age, right? Okay,
yeah.
All right. I'm
no,
just
speaking
making
of
sure.
72,
yeah.
It is a very special
it
day.
Is.
I'm going to look right in the camera and say, today is Jamie's mom's birthday.
It is.
And I don't know, the rest of the show all said, we don't have time for this, Brian. We don't have time to wish somebody a happy birthday. But I know that Jamie's mom is, you know, we have
yes.
a little thing
yes.
going. So happy birthday.
Yeah.
I hope you have a wonderful day. Listen, I'll tell you, stay off the ice. I don't care about anybody else. I don't want you falling. I don't want you getting
no,
hurt.
No, she can't. No, we don't want
cake.
Her falling. No.
Because nothing brings me more joy than you complimenting me while deriding Jamie at the same time.
That's right.
It fills my decrepit heart with joy. So happy birthday. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy yourself. Hopefully your daughter will bring you some cake or something.
Oh, hopefully. Hopefully we'll get to see her this weekend. I don't know what the day brings. It's a Thursday, and we've got the holiday weekend. And when weather gets kind of yucky because of her health, she doesn't leave the house very much.
I don't blame her.
No, I don't either. But happy birthday, Mama.
Even when the weather's nice, I don't want to leave the house.
No. Happy birthday, Mama. I'll call you later. I'll do my daughterly duty and call her. And at this point,
wow.
she's always like, I don't want to talk about my birthday. Why do you talk about my birthday? So I won't. Yeah.
You and me both. All right. Well, oh, hey, listen, you could also win some John Mulaney tickets.
Yes.
I have to find. Do you have the talking
points
in front
I do.
Of you?
Right Good. Here. Right here. Let me find the right tab. Here we go. So John Mulaney, of course, if you don't know, he is an SNL vet. He is an award-winning comedian, and he is going to be at the Wisconsin State Fair. Those tickets are on sale now. He will be on the Bank 5-9 main stage as a headliner, WIStateFair.com, if you want to buy yourself a pair. Or you could, you know, roll with your chance to win. Go to WRJN.com, sign up for tickets. You have until Sunday to get your name into the drawing to win a pair of tickets to see John Mulaney at the Wisconsin State Fair when hopefully the weather is nicer and we're not talking about ice, snow, and rain. It is 6:19 right now. This is Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Houston, we have no problem. We'll talk about that after this on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
6:22 right now. We hope that your morning is off to a great start. Hopefully you're staying dry. Take an umbrella with you if you're in parts of the state today, because you're going to need it. Chance it. You're going to be super wet.
You're a grown-up. Do what you need to do.
I just want to make sure if you haven't, because I hadn't looked outside when I left the house today. I had no idea how hard it was raining until my garage door went up. So, you know, if you're, don't be like me, essentially, is what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Be more aware of your surroundings before you walk outside.
I always leave an umbrella in the car. There's an umbrella in my car all the time, just in case.
Yes.
But that's me. I'm an old Boy Scout. Hey, did you watch the Artemis 2 launch yesterday? How did it make you feel? We want to share your experiences. 855-75-CIVIC. Parker, I'm going to give you all the numbers. 855-752-4842. Oh, that's God. How you get a hold of us. The launch went off without a hitch. It sounded like this. Cut one, Parker.
4, 3, 2, 1. Booster ignition and lift off. The crew of Artemis 2 now bound for the moon.
Wow.
It was, did you watch? I watched.
I did.
Here's, can I air a grievance?
Sure.
I had been watching for about 40 minutes prior to the T-minus 10-minute countdown. So I was almost an hour invested as we got to 32 seconds and CNN's feed went dead.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Why?
So by the time I got back, I don't know. By the time I got back, it came back, it was, and they had to run their 2 minutes of commercials before the feed would start again. I was a minute and a half or 2 minutes into the flight. So I missed the actual takeoff. I'd been watching this whole time. I saw them pull back the walkway. I saw the engines fire up. I was like, here we go. This is so, I watched the woman in, command say, Godspeed,
yes.
Artemis 2, let's go. I saw that they were going to travel 10,000 miles an hour. I was ready.
Oh.
They weren't that far away when it came back, but I was like,
still.
Oh.
That's a huge miss on their part, the CNN's part.
I was furious. That
feels like somebody didn't do their due diligence through the entire event. And that's very disappointing, because one of the things I was going to actually say is that when you were, for me yesterday watching it, right, I had instant chills. From the countdown until I watched them lift off, there was instant chills, because there was this feeling of nostalgia. There's this feeling of pride. And one of the things that I think is most fascinating about the time frame that we live in is our capability of cameras and streaming. Then I started thinking, mm-hmm. This is where my mind goes. Perhaps if we would have had this sort of technology 50 years ago, people wouldn't say, oh, that moonwalk was fake. Nobody ever did that. Because you get, right now you get to be right there. You get to see the entire process. It's so cool.
I love being able to see it, but did anybody else panic when there was the shot from inside or outside the rocket and it showed panels like flying away, which
yes.
they're supposed to do, but I see something
yes.
fly off and I'm like, oh my God, what happened? I'm like, oh, that's just, okay, that's the stage of the rocket
yes.
leaving. Let's calm down. Because I said yesterday, I remember watching the Challenger
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yep.
I was in court and sitting outside and it was on the TV. It was horrible.
Yes.
So I didn't want to see that. But man, it couldn't have been a more glorious day.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
And so many people in Florida watching this. And your point about nostalgia, Jamie, and pride is apt, because I'll be honest, for me only, I only speak for me, there's not a lot to be proud of in this country right now. I was proud to see all the people turn out for the protests the other day. That made me proud to be an American. This made me proud because it brought me back to the nostalgia part of it, being a kid and being in grade school, drawing pictures of the rockets and drawing pictures of the Apollo missions and just watching this and remembering, you know, when Neil Armstrong did walk on the moon. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but just the whole thing was great. 32-story rocket that blasted out. It was so cool to watch. And thankfully, everything went well. So now they're out there going to orbit the Earth. And then they're going to head out to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
They said they could. Just imagine, like, hearing the astronauts say, Oh, we have a beautiful moon rising. We're heading right toward it. We could see, I'm like,
it's incredible.
Dude, that is so cool.
It is so cool. And what I love about all of this is if you are one of those people who wants to follow this journey, there's going to be, NASA's going to be streaming so much of this from inside the actual rocket. The Kennedy Space Center is going to be streaming so much of this. So you're going to be able to listen to the astronauts, see how they're living until obviously they lose contact because they have to make that loop back around.
Yeah.
But it's awesome what technology scares me in certain ways, but when it's used for the right purposes, it is so cool because like you, I remember the Challenger. I was in fourth grade, right? So I remember watching that live on the TVs and, our teachers just being like, having to answer all these questions from all these kids and they didn't understand what was happening. But I love that we get to experience that. And there's even some Wisconsin ties. I was reading this morning that one of the women who works in the command center is actually from the great state of Wisconsin. So she's going to be a major part of this. So, I mean, there is this feeling of where when we live in this time that we live in, there is this feeling of, hey, you know what? We can actually do some really cool stuff yet. And science is awesome.
It was a moment where everybody, not only in America, but I'm sure other places around the world, was cheering for the same thing. Like everybody was on the same page. And it also humbles me because I realize how many really, really smart people there are who can, again, going back to the first time, looking up at space and going, yeah, we're going to go there. Yeah. Oh, are you? And they do.
Yeah.
They figure it out and they go. Did you feel smarter because we had gone through the terminology? I did. I was like, "Ooh, now I know what that term means."
Okay,
I know
what
that term means. I'm Mr. Astronaut. I'm Johnny Space. That'll be fun. Did you watch the president's address last night? I would love to hear your thoughts because I know Jamie has thoughts. I know I have thoughts. So what are your thoughts? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We will talk about that next. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. Turns out the president doesn't have many thoughts. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. We hope that your morning is going well so far. Thank you so much for having us on today. If you're listening in Appleton and Oshkosh on WISS or in La Crosse on WLCX or up in Hayward, the Northwoods, on WBZH, we are so glad that you decided to join us this morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Did you watch the president's address last night or did you opt out hoping that we would watch it for you and then
that's
you
the
could
way
just
to go.
Pick everything up? I wish I had that luxury, but we want to hear your thoughts on it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Jamie, I will just say I'm going to guess you can already predict my response to this. A lot of bluster about nothing.
Yeah.
There was nothing solid about it. There was the usual boasts. His voice aggravates me. And it's exactly what I would have expected. What about you?
Well, I didn't get anything new, right? If you tuned into this thinking, tuned in last night thinking, ooh, we might actually get something about this war, I'm sorry, you're going to be very disappointed. In fact, Roger over on our Facebook chat this morning saying it's getting to the point where every time Trump makes a speech, it's a repeat. Just put a record turntable on the podium and let it run. Yeah, I can't disagree because it was the exact same points.
The good news was, at least in this one, we didn't have to hear rehashes of the 2020 election. We just had to hear more recent hits.
Yes.
We had to hear about... He didn't, though. I was surprised he didn't go after NATO harder. But he did have a message for Europe. Parker, cut two.
To those countries that can't get fuel, many of which refuse to get involved in the decapitation of Iran, we had to do it ourselves. I have a suggestion. Number one, buy oil from the United States of America. We have plenty. We have so much. And number two, build up some delayed courage. Should have done it before. Should have done it with us, as we asked. Go to the Strait and just take it.
Oh, that makes sense. All right. Question, point of order. If we have so much oil, we've got just come to us, buy oil from us. then why are we paying over $4 a gallon for gasoline? Why in some places it's over $5 a gallon in gasoline? Why is everything going up? Because our trucking industry is paying more, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
Why? Why, Donnie T?
I mean, he says the things, and then we talked about this before. He says the things, and he acts like just because he says them, it makes them true. That's not how this works. Or he thinks that just because he says it, they're going to snap into fruition and things just happen. That's not exactly how this works. And my credit card would tell you that we don't have enough gas because I paid a lot yesterday and it cost me a good chunk yesterday.
Well, we have oil. We have oil, Jamie. Oil and gas are different things. It's called the refinery. Look it up. I know you're a lady. Maybe you don't understand industry. Maybe you don't understand how things work. You start with oil. It's crude, just like me. Very crude. A lot of crude. The crudest. I've always been the crudest. People say to me, sir, you're so crude. And I say, yes, I'm oily too. And they say, yes, that was the analogy we were trying to make. And I say, I know that. I'm smart. I'm the smartest. I forget where I was going. sorry.
Well, so does he. So it works out perfectly. Yeah,
I'm rambling just like the president.
Yes.
Maybe I should run.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. John and Oshkosh, thanks for taking one for the team. No way I was ending my day watching that buffoon lion rant. John, that's why
you're
we're
welcome.
Here.
You're welcome.
We're here for you. You are welcome, my friend.
That's right. We'll tell you to drive safely on the ice, and we'll take one for the team and watch the president. That's what we do here.
That's exactly what we do. But just telling Europe, hey, basically, don't be such a sissy. Go over and just take it. Just take it. You want it, take it. That's his mentality. You just take what you want, whether it's oil, whether it's a woman, whether it's a child, allegedly, whatever it is, you just take it.
What I love about this is the reason that nobody's done that up until this point is because they all knew it was going to end in some sort of major conflict slash war, whatever we're calling it at this point. So these things are usually done with some sort of strategy, unless you're this administration where you just act and then say, well, you know, we have this plan, but we might go this way, but it might work out this way. It could be 2 weeks, maybe 1 month. We might be out of there tomorrow. Like, no, there has to be strategy. And that's why the other countries haven't done what you proclaimed that you were able to do.
Well, listen, I don't think you understand what's happening. Everything is fine. You complaining about your gas, blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you what, we don't need their gas. Kid, cut three.
Remember, because of our drill baby drill program, America has plenty of gas. We have so much gas. Under my leadership, we are number one producer of oil and gas on the planet without even discussing the millions of barrels that we're getting from Venezuela. Because of the Trump administration's policies, we produce more oil and gas than Saudi Arabia and Russia combined. The United States imports almost no oil through the Hormuz Strait. And won't be taking any in the future.
Straight.
We don't need it. We haven't needed it, and we don't need it.
Well,
obviously,
where do we start?
You bumbling buffoon.
Frank, why is there no fact or fiction on this today? Because I don't even know where to start with that entire 35 seconds.
We need the buzzer all the time.
Wow.
Because thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, just play it continuously for this whole segment. Just do it. The whole thing should be beeped.
There were so many falsehoods. We do not produce the world's largest supply.
The most oil in the world?
We do not. That is not true. Now, we do produce a lot here in the United States, but not the world's largest supply. In
Saudi Arabia and Russia combined, Jamie, he said it must be true.
It turns out that the world supply actually comes from the place that you're currently destroying and say we're going to be out of in just 2 weeks.
Well, why would we believe what we see and what the markets are saying? And that's the problem. You know, the markets go up and down because he says these stupid things.
Yes.
And then people think, oh, well, he must be right. Look at the markets. How many of you are actually in the markets? How many of you are following them that closely to say, oh, yeah, no. It's
no.
Look in your wallet, as Jamie said. Look at your credit card receipts. Do any sort of reading.
Yeah.
You'll realize that he's just full of baloney.
We have a lot of comments coming in on social media this morning. Pam saying he has no regard for all of the people he's killing. That's been pretty obvious from the beginning based on the cavalier attitude this administration has had. And Pete Hegseth at a podium talking about giving facts and figures and telling us not to worry about those, right? We've got Roger right. chiming in as well. When did the drill baby drill begin? That was during his campaign.
The first administration.
It also continued through 2024. And then Alicia chiming in saying, man, well, then gas should be less expensive, right? That she is correct. We've also got Yeah, go ahead.
Can I explain to Alicia a little something?
Okay.
Alicia. You and all the other ladies, I know you got lady brains. There's a lot of guys who think with lady brains, too. You don't understand it. You don't know that we now have the strongest economy in the world. I wouldn't say it if I didn't think it. So now I said it. Cut four, kid.
We built the strongest economy in history. We're going through it right now, the strongest in history. In 1 year, we've taken a dead and crippled country. I hate to say that, but we were a dead and crippled country after the last administration and made it the hottest country anywhere in the world by far with no inflation.
It's so hot I would sleep with it if it was my daughter.
Coming into the United States over $18 trillion and the highest stock market ever with 53 all-time record highs in just 1 year.
Okay. So here's the first thing I'm going to say.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say this as somebody who supported Joe Biden. Uh-huh. His economy was fragile because it was still rebuilding. However, what I will uh-huh. say is that if you think financially, you are better off right this very minute because the policies of this president, I don't know what money tree you have found because I know how much tighter our budget is. I know how much tighter the budget of friends and family are. I know how much tighter the budget of my mom living on a fixed income is, how we're trying to figure out how to get her better food sources because of her health, mm-hmm. because she doesn't have the money to pay for that, all because of the policies of this administration. So no, we are not actually financially better off. Poll after poll after poll. Even if you don't take stock in them, take stock in the lump sum of them all together. They will tell you that even Republicans who support this president are fearful of the economy. We are not better off than we were under Joe Biden.
Economists in this country, economists across the world, this war is really about to throw everybody
yes.
into a global
yes.
either recession, inflation, whatever. I'm not an economist. I know it's not good. I know, I think like most of you do, I look at what's happening in my home.
Mm-hmm.
I look at what's happening around my community. People are struggling, and that's it. Frank and Poinette says, I totally agree with everything you just said. This guy Trump has no clue but to grift. He does, but Frank and everybody else who's complaining, let me tell you a little something, friends. We are winning. Amish man, cut five.
Never in the history of warfare has an enemy suffered such clear and devastating large-scale losses in a matter of weeks. Our enemies are losing in America, as it has been for 5 years under my presidency, is winning, and now winning bigger than ever before.
What does that even mean?
He's got tiger blood. Oh, wait, that's the wrong guy who's winning.
We're winning.
I mix him and Charlie Sheen up with their delusional
comments.
We're
winning bigger than ever before. This is a war, and in war, nobody wins. Nobody actually wins in war. Not when you're looking at the amount of civilians that are being killed who I get. I'll go back and I'll say it again. Iran has always been a problem. There was no imminent threat. There was no imminent threat to this country. There have been whistleblowers now. There have been U.S. intelligence reports. There was no imminent threat to this country. And when you look at the devastation that's happening across the Middle East, and because of that devastation, what's happening right here at home, going back to the economy, going back to the fact that we are now sending troops over to a war that we have no idea when it's going to end, what are we winning?
I don't know. He gave no timeline for ending it. It's all propaganda to create an illusion of strength and power. That is his bread and butter. He idolizes dictators and authoritarian leaders. He wants to project that kind of strength. If you listen to his voice, he is not well. And now even crackpots, and I hate to even mention Alex Jones's name.
Yep.
But a lot of these guys, Alex Jones actually said, we need to cut bait on Trump and move on.
Yeah. I mean, these are fervent supporters. These are people who have stuck with him through thick and thin, no matter what, no matter how things have looked, no matter how many lawsuits have been against this man, no matter what he's done to the economy. And now they're looking at, was a war the step that took them to that that direction?
When you campaign that you are not going to get into any more forever wars, and you start a war for your own manufactured reasons, just like all his decisions are manufactured based on his own, and he said this, he feels it in his bones. He has a gut feeling. He knew that Iran was going to attack us, that even though he had just months before obliterated their nuclear stockpile, they were, he knew they were going to attack, despite every professional intelligence officer in the country telling him that was not true. He did it. All right, well, listen, he sat in on the Supreme Court yesterday, too. Unprecedented. We'll talk about that and more, and try not to blow a gasket before 7 o'clock. Good luck.
It's 6:48 right now. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. We hope that your day is going well so far. I mean, I know it's probably just starting, but I'd rather go out on a high note than a low note, or at least start on a high note. It is 6:52 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. If you were following the Supreme Court yesterday and you have any thoughts on this birthright citizenship thing that the president is trying to take away, we'd love to hear your thoughts and your musings. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Well, you know that the president has been pushing to end automatic birthright citizenship, and he was met by a suspicious Supreme Court yesterday, which buoyed my spirits for a moment. Liberal and conservative justices both raised tough questions about reimagining the way citizenship has been understood in the U.S. for more than 100 years. Over the course of more than 2 hours, the justices picked away at the arguments raised by the administration's attorney, Solicitor General John Sauer, about whether the framers of the 14th Amendment intended to exclude children born to a wide swath of illegal and legal immigrants from the promise of citizenship by virtue of being born here in America. So if their decision reflects what we saw yesterday and the questions and the arguments, there's a good chance that Donald Trump will be defeated once again by the Supreme Court, which he sat there for an hour and 15 minutes, Jamie, just glaring, trying to remind Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett and all the other appointees that he has put on the court that he's their court daddy and they better do what he says. But it didn't really look that way.
No, it wasn't really going his way. And what I will say is I didn't watch the entire 2 hours, but I did listen to a good portion of it yesterday. And I thought the judges were asking the right questions. And the skepticism that they were showing towards Sauer was obviously warranted. But what I will say is they were not easy on the opposing counsel either. They were a little skeptical of a couple of her arguments, because it's almost like even though these judges were appointed by Donald Trump, they're actually trying to follow the law. And that's essentially what you saw them doing yesterday. So I am, after listening to the things that they had to say and the line of questioning that they had, I'm never optimistic about this Supreme Court. However, I felt a little bit better just based on hearing their line of questioning. And here's the other thing I'll say is that Donald Trump may have miscalculated just a little bit, because the judges that he has actually appointed are very much constitutionalists. They don't interpret the Constitution. They take it literally. And
I don't think he knew what that meant.
No,
he saw it on there.
I agree.
He saw it on the one sheet that he was given, but he didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
They're constipated. Well, maybe they can wear a diaper under the robe. It's not as bulky. I wear it under my tennis whites and my golf whites, and it's very flattering. John Roberts, who you know is the Chief Justice, used the word quirky yesterday, which I had not heard in a long time, when he kind of set the tone for the questioning, Parker.
On subject to the jurisdiction thereof. But the examples you give to support that strike me as very quirky. You know, children of ambassadors, children of enemies during a hostile invasion, children on warships. And then you expand it to a whole class of illegal aliens are here in the country. I'm not quite sure how you can get to that big group from such tiny and sort of idiosyncratic examples. You obviously put a lot of weight on subject to the jurisdiction thereof. But the examples you give to support that strike me as...
Yeah, that's on a loop. We'll just... thank you, Parker. Parker, we threw him a curveball
this morning.
A quirky one.
That's all right.
Huh? A quirky one. Very good,
Parker. I guess
Parker.
It was put it in the wrong color. But yeah, it was not easy questioning for anybody, and it shouldn't be. And they didn't... The Sauer did not get to talking about illegals for a long time. They were using all kinds of... as Chief Justice Roberts said, very tiny little examples,
yes.
And the court wants you to come out banging right away, and he did not, because they don't really have, as evidenced before with the tariffs, they come in with these really obscure, very narrow examples, and they pick really the wrong things to base their cases on.
Well, it's weird interpretations of the Constitution that they continually bring into court, which at some point, I mean, when do we quit taking it seriously? Because the things that they're trying to overturn are very serious.
About 10 years ago, I stopped taking it seriously.
But it's very serious that they keep trying to overturn some of these laws. But at the same time, the law that they're actually turning to is so obscure, and it has to be interpreted in such a precise way that maybe focus on something bigger. I don't understand what the administration
they don't.
Is
they
thinking.
Have. They don't have anything to hang it on. He wants something done, so they try to find anything that can even remotely back it up. He signs these executive orders, he makes these pronouncements, and then when they're challenged, well, he's not the one who has to go to court and try to defend it. Somebody else does, and it's like, well, all right, this is illegal, but we have to try to defend it. Or he throws ketchup bottles at everything.
What I thought was interesting is they allowed Sauer to go back into the Supreme Court, because he was actually the one who argued the tariffs case that they lost. So I was actually surprised to see him be the one to represent the administration in court, based on the fact that he just lost the tariffs case just within the last couple of weeks. Obviously, he's probably the one who's been working on this, so he's probably best suited to go in. But at the same time, this is an administration who makes moves pretty quickly if they win or they lose. And so I was personally surprised that he was the one to make the arguments yesterday.
Well, and Amy, just really quick, Amy Coney Barrett brought up the administration's embrace of a theory of a parent's allegiance would have applied to newly freed slaves. The administration actually brought up slavery as a defense. Some of those children would have had slave parents who were only recently brought from Africa, and this thus might still have felt allegiance to the land from which they were trafficked. And she's like, you're really equating that to this?
She has adopted children from Haiti, by the way, just in case anybody's wondering. I mean...
All right, listen, we got stuff you need to know, and...
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.